evening. Again, I wish, hope everybody had an easy fast. Please join me in saying the Anabekoach. Anabekoach, Gedula Chemincha, Tatir, Terura. Alepet Gimel Yuttap Tzadi. Since this is an advanced class, I will just mention that the Gematria is 506, the same as Ahavat Hinam. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu No Freshayan, Sintet Nun. The six letters spell Kra Satan, or can be rearranged to spell Sha'ar Katan. Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Ke Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. First three letters connect to Parnassah. The last three letters connect to an energy of taking back the energy we've given away. Barchem tacharem rachamei sidkatcha tamid gamlem betet resh tzadi taf gimel. And the two letters of the month, the kaf that created the sun, and the tet that created the planet or the constellation Aryeh, the Leo, as well as the moon, I mean not the moon, but the month of Av. Pasin Kadosh Biro Tuvcha Nael Adatach Het Kufbet Het Nunayan. The sequence connects us to Hod and also to appreciation. Yachid Geya Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushatach Yud Gimalamet Pei Zayin Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodeya Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadi Yud Taf. And the last line in a whisper, Baruch Shem Kavod. I'm now going to read from the Zohar, from a verse from Vayetchanan. This is verse 102, section 15. Ar Elokim, Yir Elokim. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu k'nenei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu k'nenehu. Ve'amar Rabbi Shimon tanenan k'lalot shevativ Moshe mipi hagvura amaran v'shibishne Torah Moshe Mipi Mitzvot Atzmo Amaran Meit Mepi Atzmo Beki Sod Diafilu At Ze'era Vioraita Moshe Amarle Megarme. Rabbi Shimon also said, we learn that Moses uttered the curses in Leviticus. In the book of Vayikra, from the mouth of Gevura, which is Bina, that is called supernal Gevura. Those in Deuteronomy he uttered with his own mouth. Could you possibly imagine that Moses would speak even a small letter in the Torah from himself? A little bit esoteric, don't you think? It's saying that even the people that speak to us on a daily basis could be speaking from different levels of consciousness, and we don't really know which level of consciousness they're speaking to us from. So, what's the question for tonight? Tonight's subject is mitzvah number 15, not to hate fellow Jews, which comes from Leviticus 19:17, and that applies to all times, both when the temple existed and when it doesn't. To all places, both inside Israel and outside Israel, and to both men and women. And the same verse Leviticus 19, verse 17, also has two other, number 16 and number 17, to reprove and not to embarrass others. So it's going to be an interesting meeting whenever it takes place. But let's look at, see what verse 19 says in the book of Vayikra. Here we go, page, verse 19, verse 17. The English is, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall reprove your fellow, and do not bear a sin because of him. And those three paragraphs, those three phrases, each are positive mitzvot. And I don't know how far we'll get tonight in discussing all of them, but let's understand, what does it mean not to hate your fellow in your heart? First off, what is hate? Hate is the opposite of love, isn't it? Now, it doesn't say, the mitzvah is recorded by the Rambam as, do not hate the fellow Jew in your heart. Earlier, we spoke about the mitzvah to love the ger and to love the Jew. But in both the mitzvah to love the Jew and the mitzvah to not to hate the Jew, we find the language very clear that it's speaking about all human beings, not just a Jew. So we have to raise the question, why? Why is the interpretation by the rabbis not to hate the Jew? In this case, it's talking about the brothers. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Why would you hate someone? Because he has something you want? Because he's blocking you from reaching your goal? It really doesn't say do not hate. It says do not hate in your heart. If someone is blocking you from your goal, tell him so. Tell him you don't like him. Tell him to change his ways. That's why immediately after, do not hate your brother in your heart. Reprove your brother. Tell him when he's doing wrong. Be consistent between your internal and your external. How difficult is it in a society to be consistent between your internal and your external? How consistent? How difficult is it to do that? It is very difficult. It is very easy to put on a face that says, I love you. When in fact, you'd rather not be with that person. We should always strive to be the consistent between our internal and our external. Between what is right and what is wrong. What does it mean to reprove your brother? It means tell your brother he's wrong. Why should we tell our brother is wrong? Who cares? Because ultimately, being consistent between our internal and our external will prove to be a beneficial path for you to follow. Well, it does seem like I'm not following this real well. But I do have lots to talk about for this mitzvah. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Perhaps we should talk about it next week, and I should get on the road. Does anybody have any questions on what I've said so far? We will cover...
I do.
Yes, sir, Robert. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, rego to rego, minute by minute. To hate is an interesting verb in the English language. It's extremely powerful. If someone says, I hate chocolate pudding, that's such overkill, if you will. It's disarming. So it's best to correct them with, maybe you don't like chocolate pudding, but you hate chocolate pudding? Wow. So it's very demonstrative. My question, therefore, is, do people realize what they're doing when they use the action verb, I hate chocolate pudding? Do they really realize what they're saying and what they're causing? And if they do, why do they do it? And if they don't, is that not in fact why the world is becoming more and more of a dangerous place to exist in by the second? Sorry for the long question, but there you go.
Well, I appreciate the long question because it woke me up. Just joking.
There you go. You blinked, in other words.
Yes, I blinked.
Okay.
The verb is an interesting verb. In the Hebrew, the verse is velo tisa alav chetz. Excuse me, I misread the line. It is the same verse, but that's the last part of it. The whole verse is lo tishna et achicha beliv levavcha hokeach hokiach et amitecha velo tisa elav chetz. So we have these three phrases. One, do not hate your brother in your heart. And it is spelled Levavka with the two bets. So it's telling us, do not hate your brother in your hearts. And then it says, reprove your brother. And then says, do not bear a sin because of him. These are three aspects. Completely different things. I will get around to answering your question, Robert. Do not hate, while you say, is a strong word. In the English, is it the same in the Hebrew? I'm not a Hebrew speaker, and you are. You are fluent in Hebrew, and the verb is tishna. Sinam is the root, as we know, which means hatred for no reason, which is the cause of the destruction of the temples and the cause of the selling of Joseph into Egypt and the cause of Cain killing Abel. And that all boils down to jealousy of one form of another, of perceiving an energy, an aspect that I want, that I don't have, but someone else has. And so hatred is, in the Hebrew, as I'm understanding it now, hatred is talking about jealousy. It's saying that the cause of hatred is jealousy. That hatred is just an effect. So to answer your question, do people know what hate that they, when they say, "I hate chocolate ice cream," that it's inappropriate language? No, it may very well be that I don't have jealousy over people who like chocolate ice cream. I don't have jealousy that they have chocolate ice cream and I don't. The other answer to your question is, as I was listening to the question, we live in a world that appears to be falling deeper and deeper into darkness. I think everybody will agree there is greater chaos today than there was when we were growing up. There's greater chaos in our generation when we were growing up than in our parents' or grandparents' generation. Why does this happen? Why do we fall spiritually on a quantum level? Robert, you may need to mute your phone because it's being recorded.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. So why do people hate? And I think the truth is, we fall spiritually because someone achieves their correction. And all the goodness and light that they achieved in their physical world, in their physical life, leaves with them. It leaves this world. It leaves it in darkness, more darkness, greater darkness. And so the illusion is that the world is getting darker, when in fact there's a greater amount of light stored in the endless world waiting for us to achieve it, to reach it. In the Zohar, there's a description of Rabbi Shimon having gone through the Garden of Eden and estimating that there were, at the time of the destruction of the temple, about half of the 600,000 Jewish men waiting for the other half to finish. And since that 2,000 was about 2,000 years ago, we can see that those of us who live in this world are really very, very small component of the Jewish world. We are a very small component achieving this level of consciousness. Do not hate your brother in your heart is talking about your outer face and your inner face. Do not bear a sin because of your brother is talking about the concept that I have the responsibility to make sure that my brother does everything correctly. I have that responsibility. And if I do not speak up and tell him you're doing wrong, I bear his iniquity. I bear his pain and suffering. I'm the cause of him continuing to do the wrong action. And therefore, I'm the one who's going to suffer the negative aspect of his actions. Because I did not speak up, whatever chaos is attributed to his action is going to come to me. Not to him, because I could have stopped him. Why didn't I stop him? It's uncomfortable to tell somebody not what to do. It's truly uncomfortable. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Make sure that your feelings internally are being expressed externally. Reprove your brother. Make sure your external is paying the internal. Have I answered your question, Robert?
Yes, you have.
Okay. Hatred is a strong word. People use hatred because the negative side, the Satan, has been given permission to lower us and lower us and lower us. The Satan doesn't do anything without permission. So we are lower spiritually, where we will use words inappropriately. And the more words we use inappropriately, the more chaos the world becomes, because those words have power, and we use them inappropriately. There are comedians, and I use that in the feminine sense, there are comedians who build their whole comedy routine over swear words. There are female comedians who do the same thing. There are male comedians who do that. Johnny Carson, a tremendous comic, went through X number of years of the Tonight Show, rarely swearing. But many of his guests, that was how they made fun. That's how they caused people to laugh. When you hear inappropriate language, it should shock you. when you hear inappropriate language continuously, time after time after time, it no longer shocks. It no longer serves its effect. And that's one of the tools of the negative side, constantly causing us to lose effect. Constantly saying the same words over again. It's a technique that's used in courtrooms. Bring in the bloody crime scene photos and make the jury abhor the person, because all you can see is the bloody crime scene. Show those crime scene photos over and over and over and over until they no longer have effect when you see them. Okay, so he died a bloody death. It's learning the tools that Satan does. It's learning how to be happy. Because when you are happy, you do not say hate. In fact, you start laughing at the people who say hate. Are there any other questions? And the silence is deafening. Okay.
Is this a party of two here?
No, there's people from Israel and from Croatia who are always part of my phone calls. But they call through Skype, and sometimes it's not easy for their voices to be heard.
Trust me, they're on serious Skype delay.
Well, for them it's 10:30, and I mean for us it's 10:30, and for them that means it's 8:30 in the morning.
All right. Well, they're having coffee and croissant. What's their problem?
Their problem is the Skype microphone doesn't work on both their computers.
Chas v'shalom.
Which is why the Satan is in control.
Well, and he should get off Skype.
No. They should learn to have mind over matter so they can place their question into your mouth. So you are blocking them from being able to access the appropriate remedy.
What does that mean?
It means when you point out at someone and says they are doing something wrong, then you are not in unity with them. And you can only reprove your brother when you are in unity with him. You can only tell your brother he's doing wrong when you are in total affinity, when you feel his pain for his wrong action. That is the only time you can say to him, please, brother, I feel that you're hurting yourself. Please.
No wonder I get yelled at 10 times a day.
If you are saying to someone, you're doing something wrong, and you don't love them, that's the third part of this verse. Do not bear a sin for their actions. If you don't reprove them, you are going to bear the sin for their actions. Because they could have stopped. They would have stopped if you'd said something.
Ah.
But if you don't love them, you can't tell them they're wrong. And so you bear the sin that you didn't love them enough to be able to reprove them.
Uh-oh, here comes another question.
Great.
Are you ready for this one? You answer this one correctly, and you win a cookie.
Chocolate chip?
If you so desire. No. In the, let me think. Who believes this, Michigas? Oh. In the Protestant religion.
If you're thinking we're dealing with logic. and we need to be asking questions from an intuitive level.
Right, I am. In the Protestant religion, they believe in sin eaters. Sin eaters were, excuse me, they believed, past tense. Sin eaters were very popular up until the 1960s. They were people paid by individuals through the church to have a banquet alone in their home and gobble up the delicious food that was prepared for them by the person or people who paid their fee for them to eat up their sins. And they would feel the pain and shriek and bounce all over the room or the house or the apartment or wherever they were. And it's documented. This happened tens of thousands of times. Sin eaters. What's the Kabbalistic perspective on that practice, which only ended 50 years ago?
It has not ended.
They're still doing this?
I don't know if the church is still condoning it. I don't follow their practice. I'm not an expert in the Protestant church or any aspect of it. And so I choose not to really to answer it from that perspective.
But there are still sin eaters bouncing around out there?
But let's put it in perspective. We need to understand clearly that the word sin, as used in Western society, has become corrupted. It's corrupted by the teachings of the church and Western civilization. A sin is a horrible thing. In Judaism, a sin is a mistake. A sin is something a child does that they didn't know better. The word chet comes from a root that means miss the mark. Like I shot an arrow and I didn't hit the target. That's a sin. There's another Hebrew word, avera, that means I transferred energy to the other side. I made this mistake, and this energy got moved to the other side, to the negative side. I strengthened them instead of strengthening the side of holiness. So we need to understand the corruption involved in using English words from the Hebrew and allowing our consciousness to have been inculcated with this Western logic and Western civilization and its corruption. So, let's understand what the sin eaters were and are if they are still active. We are talking about people coming from a place of let's say the Protestants started in Germany with Martin Luther's Reformation, because he got into an argument with the church. He said to the Pope, "Your decisions are wrong," for various reasons. And he started his own church. A perfectly natural, positive thought. I'll start my own and create separation. Its base is separate. What is eating up someone else's sin? It's a total corruption of understanding cause and effect. I cannot eat up someone else's sin. I cannot correct what someone else has done. I can only be responsible for that other person being given knowledge that will cause him to choose to change his ways. That's what reproof is all about. Reproof is not saying, you dummy, God forbid, that use that word. You idiot, God forbid, you'd use that word. You person who lacks integrity, God forbid you would even make that judgment. You, stop doing the things that hurt you. I feel your pain. I'm tired of feeling your pain. Please stop hurting yourself. Please. There's a story told about Rabbi Brandwine in the 1950s. Rabbi Brandwine was the major student of Rabbi Ashlag, and he had taken over the Kabbalah Center, and his actual work, you may find this hard to believe, but he was the rabbi of the labor union, Histadrut, in Israel. And essentially, all of the Zionists were labor unionists. All of the whole structure of the socialist world in the 50s was manifested in the country of Israel, in the whole idea of the kibbutzim, etc. And when did the labor union have their annual celebration? They waited till the calendar came out, and then they chose to have it on the night of Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, so they could eat instead of fasting. This was what they would do, and they hired Rabbi Brandwine. They hired Rabbi Brandwine to be their rabbi, because he was a Kabbalist and he wasn't a rabbi. He wasn't religious. He loved for no reason. And he never reproved somebody until he felt their pain and knew that by saying something they would change. So the story is told along those lines. Abakuchi was the name of the mayor of the city of Haifa. Now, Haifa is an interesting city for those of us who love Jewish people and who love the country of Israel. Haifa is a port. You know what goes on in ports? Smuggling. You know what goes on in ports? Sailors who have been on vessels for long periods of time looking for women, going to prostitution, etc. A port city does not go along with our concept of what is righteous and holy. Well, our concept is wrong. What is righteous and holy is those people satisfying their desires with the consciousness of sharing. We must live in the real physical world and be aware of it. So Abakuchi, the only city, Haifa, that has bus running on Shabbat in Israel, gives you the background and the attitude of the people of Haifa. Abakuchi and Rabbi Brandwine were walking on Shabbat, and they stopped to say hello in the middle of Haifa. And Abakuchi was smoking a cigarette. There would be no reason that he would not smoke a cigarette. He doesn't keep Shabbat. Rabbi Brandwine said not one word. They had a friendly conversation. Rabbi Brandwine actually in his papers indicated, I don't even remember, you know, doing this. And a few weeks later, Abakuchi and Rabbi Brandwine ran into each other again in Haifa. A few few months later, whenever. And Abacuchi wasn't smoking a cigarette. And he said to Rabbi Brandwein, I want to thank you. And Rabbi Brandwein said, what are you thanking me for? Said, do you remember when you saw me smoking? You didn't say a word. You didn't show a word on your face. But somehow I knew you were in pain from my action. I was hurting you by smoking a cigarette on Shabbat. And I felt your pain, and I stopped that instant. When we walked away, I put the cigarette out, and I have not smoked a cigarette on Shabbat since, nor will I, because of your pain that I felt. This is the idea of true love. And it is only when you are at this level of true love that you can give reproof because you don't have to. Because the pain that you feel about the other person will be transmitted on the level of mind over matter. Rabbi Brandwein didn't say a word. He didn't show by any action on his face or his body that he was hurting for Abacuchi. This is the level of a Mekubal. Someone who knows what's best for someone, but only because he is walking in that man's shoes, not because he's walking outside of them. Did I answer your question, Robert?
Absolutely. Do we have time for a quick comment?
Of course.
Okay. You may recall I mentioned to you a few months ago at the Talmud Shiur at that place.
Yes.
I yelled at the rabbi when he came in and said, how dare you? You've come in here for 5 months. You shake hands and you hug every person here. Except me. Every person here is either primarily Israeli or something else. I'm the only person born and raised in the United States. And I'm pretty hard to miss. I'm a large person. And yet you've never acknowledged me. How dare you? And he stood back for a second and looked to the right and then up, which we both know means he was channeling the answer. And he blinked, and he closed his eyes, and then he looked me straight in the eye and beat his breast and said, Chatati, 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 which means, I sinned, and bowed and looked at me with his eyes down, and it disarmed me. I used that same scenario, as I told you the other week, in the same place with somebody else that we both know, who's back from Israel. And he started to attack me violently, verbally. And I said, Chatati, 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 and beat my breast. And his eyes went down, and he shook his head, and he walked away. Pretty powerful.
I understand because I'm aware of the people, but those other people on this recording or who are listening it afterwards would not be. It's understanding that we have the ability to feel that other person's pain momentarily. It is only people who become Mekubalim, people who truly work on themselves and take out those aspects of their character and their personality and their traits and say, I don't like this. This is ugly. Throw it away. I don't want to see it again. People who are doing that, these are the people that will respond appropriately to being reproved. The question is, how can we reprove someone without verbalizing it? We can only do that when we are so unified with that person's soul that the pain that I'm feeling is transmitted to that soul and brought into his consciousness by the powers that be, the system that works, the spiritual system. That is achievable, that is doable, but it takes work. It takes restriction. Rabbi Brandwein felt Abacuchi's pain. He looked at the cigarette. He didn't say, "You're breaking Shabbat. You're causing a destruction in the world." He didn't say all of the things that you or I would say. He just looked. And Abacuchi, on his soul level, was in unity with Rabbi Brandwein to the extent that he felt that pain. We should all rise to this level, Bezrat Hashem.
For mine, being here at home.
Good night. The class tomorrow night at 10 p.m. will be a reading from the Zohar, from the Parasha of Vayetchanan, when people should learn how to pray. And there will be another class Friday morning at 11 o'clock L.A. time. That will be a beginning class for people in New Mexico. You're more than welcome to join and understand more about the world of illusion. On Sunday at 10 p.m. L.A. time, California time, 10 a.m., excuse me, we will be talking about tshuva. We will be explaining how tshuva allows you to return from the past a different person, such that the negative chaos that's waiting for you can't find that person because he no longer exists. We will understand that and learn what tshuva is all about. And we need to prepare tshuva. We need to prepare for the next 7 weeks, because we are leading up to a year, the year of 5771, Taf Shin Ayin Aleph, a year that has some really interesting attributes. And I think maybe that's what we'll talk about, if not this coming Tuesday, the following Tuesday. So next week on Tuesday at 7:45 LA time, Wednesday at 10 p.m., we will talk more about mitzvot, and Thursday the Zohar, and again Friday and Sunday. Shalom, you all.